Last week I introduced you to the subject of your sword craft. We're in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. And in the previous sermon, I simply began to look at the next item of the armor that God says is to be part of our preparation for confronting evil in the world and in our own lives. The distinguishing thing I did last week was we're in the middle of a thing where he says, you are facing evil in the face of a devil and an entire organization of evil powers, principalities, and evil forces in this dark world, and that he wants you to battle. He wants us to engage in the battle. And the point last week was simply to point out something that we'll delve into a little bit more today, is that what Satan uses most frequently in this world to advance the cause of his evil is the immaturity and the unholiness of Christians and their institutions. And so when we talk about this armor here, the guy that's standing there has an enemy out here, but he also has an enemy in within, in his own half-baked nature that is flesh and spirit, and those are lusting against each other, and that Satan's best tool is soldiers who aren't doing their job. Inside, they got a sword on their hip, but that's mostly for show. They've got a helmet on their head. They're safe from going to hell, and they're proud of that, etc., you know. But inside, the work of the gospel in transforming the inner man or the inner woman has been somehow left at a low ebb in their life. And there's not this lifelong, working out into every part of their life, their individual life, what salvation's all about. And so they have not taken care of their sexuality problems, or they're still committing terrible sin with money. They're still selfish and self-centered, and the fathers are not doing their work in the household, and the mother's having to do it all, or the mother's not doing anything and the father's having to do everything. Everything that's wrong inside us and inside the church are the very things that are the evil one's best allies in this world. Look at that church over there. Look at that pastor. Look at that woman. Look at that guy. You know, and the world around us goes, yeah, that's exactly what they're like. They're not even consistent in what they're doing. And so the Word of God, I said last week, is living. That sword of the Spirit, it's living because the one who has his hand on it in our lives is the Holy Spirit. And he uses that deeply to pierce inside of us to expose what he needs to have cut out inside us first before we ever wield it in some battle out here with a homosexual or a crazed liberal theologian or something. The Word's first work is in us. And that was the point last week. We spent a lot of time on that idea of the Word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And also the attacks that come from the evil one are very significant. That's the cast of the entire suiting up in the thing. This morning I want to again focus on our sword craft, particularly the command that we are to take up the sword. Imagine a guy in military, he's come to the quartermaster to get outfitted for the next mission. And the quartermaster, he gets his helmet, you know, and he gets his backpack, and then the guy hands over this sniper rifle. Fires a 50 caliber round and it goes to a mile and a half, you know, and he looks at it and says, no, I'm not taking that, and goes on and gets his canteen and his ammunition belt or something like that, or a whatever, you know, and the quartermaster's back here saying, son, come back over here. You're the appointed sniper of this unit. You need that weapon. You've got to have that. Take it. I'm not going to take that. I don't want to do that. Take it. Take it or I'm going to bust you, know, whatever. That idea of taking your armament is what's the issue here. Paul is talking to us and saying, you take your helmet of salvation in verse 17 and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You're responsible. I'm responsible to take that up. I'm responsible to put that helmet on, remind me of who I am in Christ, and I'm not going to ever die and go to hell. I'm perfect in Christ and all these things. But now I've got to have an offensive weapon in my hand that's designed to help me accomplish something that's part of God's intention for my life once I became a Christian. The passage here is, again, I'll read the context very briefly. I'm going to start in verse 14 in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." You see, at that point, you're standing there with you've already buckled the thing on. You've already done that. And with the breastplate of righteousness in place. You put that on back in the tent. You're standing there with something that's already done. You did that prior. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You got your shoes on. You're ready to go wherever the gunny tells you you're going to go. Wherever Patton tells us we're going to get up and go in the snow. Bastogne, okay. We're ready to go. We're going. We've been born again. In this case, we're saved. We're done doing what we want to do. Commanding officer, tell us what you want us to do, and we're ready. You went to the cross for us, and we're going to go to Bastogne and rescue the 82nd or whatever that was. So but you've already done that. You put those shoes. You're ready to go. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Now there's that word take up. You got to grab the shield, pick it up, and put it on your shoulder, or in that case, they do things with it. It's got a thing on the back. You take that up. You got to have that because you got an enemy that's going to try and kill you, Satan. So that's going to help you from this external thing to survive his attacks. And then take the helmet of salvation. You pick it up, put it on your head, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see the human actions there. You and I are being called by this to do something. And the do is to take it up. So, you got up yesterday. It was Saturday. And Saturday for me is the honeydew day of the week. I've told you before my labor is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's what I consider my 5 work day. Friday is the day that I collapse and sleep all day or just snuggle all. I just rest. That's the day I work the Sabbath rest principle into my life. And then Saturday is the honeydew day. And for many years in my life, I would get up on Saturday and make a wreck out of my honeydew day. And it was because what I didn't do was my Lord do thing by taking up the sword of the Spirit. Which means I didn't have my devotional study. You know how Saturdays are. Yesterday, the deal was I have to have lunch with somebody at 7, quarter of 7. I have to leave, so I get to breakfast at 7 o'clock. And then I've got a battle with these 3 palm trees in my backyard. The seed pods and the dead limbs and all, I'd put it off and put it off, and that's a big mistake. Next time you hear me doing that, men, elders, and deacons, you say, "Pastor, did you get these things while they're just fresh and you can whack them off?" No. So I spent, 4 hours up there on the ladder, And then, but you know what? What I didn't give up, I had my devotion, because I've learned that all those other things that I did always suffered because I started the day without taking up the sword of the Spirit. And it's His sword. So it's really, it's linking me to the Holy Spirit who's been poured out on me, right? When I've got the Word of God in my hand, when I've studied it, I'm ready for what's going on. I've got my AR-15. I've got my vest on. I've got my shield and everything else. And I'm ready to battle. And Saturday is a battle day. And He protected me. I could tell tell you about what happened. What we're grabbing here is something we desperately need. The counsel of God. The Word of God. God speaking to us. Is that what we look at when we open a Bible in the morning? Is that what we are thinking we're having? Is this encounter with God Almighty Himself? Look at John 17, verse 17, briefly. We're going to look at 3 passages briefly. John 17, 17. Turn, if you will, in your little Bibles there. And I don't care to have this on the board. I want them looking in their Bibles. Thank you. This is Jesus in the night in which He was betrayed. just before his arrest. He's counseling them on what he wants them to be like, what he wants them to do. And look at what he says now. Sanctify them, verse 17, sanctify the 12 apostles, 11 apostles, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Now, who's he talking to? See verse 1, 17, 1? Look at verse 17, 1. Who's Jesus talking to when he says that? The Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Father. In the night of his betrayal, he's getting ready within 4 hours now to get arrested, beat the tar out of it, and then crucified. Within the next eight hours, he's going to be dead for our sins. My God, why have you forsaken me? And one of the last things he says is to his Father, I want you to do what? What does sanctify mean? Set them apart. Make them holy. And he says, Father, I want you to set them apart, make them holy, by your word. By the truth, I'm sorry, by the truth. Your word is truth. So, you open up your Bible to do your devotions in the morning, and I did not say you open up Charles Haddon Spurgeon, or John Calvin, or our favorite around here, Ligonier stuff, you know, R.C. Sproul, my godly good friend man. I know I didn't say that. It's you and your Bible. You open in that Bible, and when you do, picture this moment when you open it up and this blinding, powerful light it's God looking at you. God the Holy Spirit. This is His sword. So why would you not want to spend your first moments? Got your coffee cup made, you've got yourself tightened up, you know, and alert. Why would you not want to start the day listening to Him every day, including Honeydew Day? Your days go a lot better. It is the sword of the Spirit. And here Jesus says, it's the very thing by which His Father is working on me and working on you. How could the Bible just lay around? That's why we carry memory verses around in our little cards, you know, things like that. Is because even the memory verse, that's the Word of God. It's a sword of the Spirit, and God is going to work on you if you're studying it. If you've lost your ability to study the Bible because you're letting R.C. tell you or John MacArthur tell you what you should believe, you're missing the point of Bible study. That's not devotional study. That's listening to a teacher in the church other than what you have here. You want to be in the Bible. Let God speak to you. Does He not know you well enough to do that? Turn back to John 16:7. On his way in the direction that we just talked about, verse 5, he says, now I am going to him who sent me. Who's that? His Father, right? Same guy he talked about in John 17:17. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? He's just a little hint. He says, this is an important thing that I'm going there. Because I have said these things, you were filled with grief. But I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Holy Spirit, right? And when He comes, remember that world out there that Satan occupies? The territory of the evil one on this planet? He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. You having trouble with one of your unsaved friends, you know, with the idea of judgment? Turn the Word of God loose on them, because that's the only thing the Holy Spirit has. Well, the Holy Spirit's the one that must win that one. They must be born again in order to get that. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. You having trouble with people in your life who don't believe in Jesus? What have you done with the Bible? And the Holy, which is the sword of the Spirit, in your conversations with that person to lead them to Christ. And in regard to righteousness, the big kahuna, right? Because I'm going to the Father. If you want to be righteous enough to be saved, I want you to meet Jesus seated at the right hand of God. There's where the perfection lies that you must depend upon in order to be saved. Not your pathetic attempt to be righteous. The righteousness that saves is at the right hand of God, with nail prints in his hands, where he paid for all your sins, and he lived a perfect life, which is yours when you repent and believe in him. In regard to judgment, here come the judge argument, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit is in the world to help us with those three really significant arguments. But how many Christians are not taking up the sword of the Spirit when they start their day, before they walk out of the door? You see? Is this important? Yes, it is. Take up that sword of Spirit, but you've got to take it up. Don't let John MacArthur do your thinking for you. Don't let any pastor do your thinking for you, unless it comports with the Scriptures. You take it up for yourself. You don't need to go to Reformed Theological Seminary in order to get that. That might even hurt you. For John 14, finally, verse 25. Most important of all, in my mind at least, because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's alive from the dead, risen from the dead at the right hand of God. We know him. We're walking as his brothers and sisters. And here he is speaking. 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the counselor, some of you have comforter. The Greek word is that of a legal guy. Not somebody to sit next to you and say, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. That's not what it is. It's a lawyer sitting next to you in the witness chair, keeping yourself out of jail by carefully watching what you say. You're going to let him advise you what you're doing. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. What's the Great Commission? Go into all the world, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, if that's what you're doing, I will be with you to the ends of the earth. Taking up the sword of the Spirit is important because he's the one who will remind you of everything Jesus has ever said, let alone to you. Those things, some of you are 80 years old, you know, 60 years old, 50 years old, you've been studying the Bible for years, you know. The reason you're not remembering what it is you learned like back then is because probably your devotional life doesn't have Holy Spirit in the middle of it. You're just taking up the Bible. Not sensible that when you pick up your Bible, that sword you're picking up is in the hands of somebody else, not you. And what it says is therefore really important as it cuts deeply into your spirit and convicts the thoughts and intentions of your heart and brings you in that moment before the judgment seat of God and your Savior sitting there with nail prints in his hand saying to you, stop that, please. I don't want you to do that anymore. I love you. I died for your sins. I died to break the power of sin and death. And you're walking around as if you're still under the power of sin and death. Hey, let's get it together, son or daughter, brother or sister. It's brother or sister. You see? Should you take up the sword of the Spirit? Yes, you should. Why? Because it's the sword of the Spirit. Why? Because you need to be reminded of everything Jesus has ever said. Why? Because there are certain things in you that need to be cut out. And you're not the surgeon. Nobody can. You don't trust yourself really to hurt yourself to get something done in your life, do you? It ain't going to happen. Let the Holy Spirit be the one to do that and expect it. So that in whatever God's working on you, the Holy Spirit and His Word is that which is as it work in you. The final, don't go here, just listen to me. 2 Timothy 3:14-17 is addressed to ministers. Timothy is addressed to pastors. 1 and 2 Timothy are the pastoral handbooks. But you can bet that there's something in there for all of us as it occurs here. 2 Timothy 3:14-17, just listen here. But as for you, continue in what, to Timothy, Pastor Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, every sword you pick up, is God-breathed and is useful for, it's going to teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A perfect summary of the promise of what happens when you pick up the sword of the Spirit. No matter when it took place, in your infancy to now, there's a force in you, in the hands of God the Holy Spirit, that will thoroughly equip you for everything He calls you to do. As a mom, as a dad, as a college student, as a retired guy. You retired guys, you know, you've got Bible stuff piled upon piled in your heads. That if you just got up every morning and went to your knees in your devotion and said, Lord, Lord, I've been listening for about 40 years. But frankly, I didn't have time. He doesn't mind you saying things like this. I didn't have time, or I didn't take the time to really delve into this because I had a job and I was traveling all over the world and blah, 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 and the kids and all this kind of stuff, you know. That's okay. It's okay. You might have fumbled along the way. You constructed a decent, half-decent life, okay? But I'm pointing out to you now that now in your retirement, there's more than golf. There's more brothers and sisters of retirement age. There is the continued project of what God is doing with your head, your mind, and what He wants to do with your hands and your voice and your person in this world as it is today. And best of all, from a pastor's standpoint, you've heard 40 times 52 sermons in your life. If all you did was go to Sunday morning worship, add Sunday school in there, you heard another one. Add an evening service, you heard another one. Add an R.C. Sproul conference, you're so piled up with things that you know about, see, that you're a powerhouse waiting for God the Holy Spirit to pick up and use in these days. In the church first, where your mature help in the Word is desperately needed, as well as whatever you might want to do out in the political realm, you know, in the community areas, things like that. But make sure what you're doing is an evidence of the Word of God at work powerfully in your life as the Holy Spirit takes that Word and is, even at this late date, continuing to make a godly man or a godly woman out of you. Because just because you didn't pay attention, it's still there. And probably by now you really know what you need to repent of and what you need to grow into. We need you. We need you in the fight as someone who has taken up the Word of God for its good work in your individual, marital, professional, and cultural life. It is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercies to us. God, we thank you for your grace. That these things come to us sometimes as burdens, but they are burdens put upon someone who is filled with the Spirit of God. You don't do all the work. You take up the sword. And that sword has a power of its own. And I pray that everyone in here, my brothers and sisters, especially those in these neighborhoods we have, God, please, powerful men and women for Jesus Christ in these days who have elected as a feature of their retirement, or someone like, we've got college students here, who as a feature of their preparation for life, have taken up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so they can know you best and follow you, Lord, in all that you want them to do. Please help us in these matters. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.